I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow podcast with Marissa Carter. You know, I believe we all have a story to tell, and by telling those stories, we can help each other along our journeys through life and make things a little bit easier. This season of the Good Glow podcast is brought to you with thanks to Promise Gluten Free. When it comes to leading a healthy lifestyle, nutritious food is a key part of my every single day. The Promise Gluten Free range is high in fiber, low in fat, and most importantly, absolutely delicious. You'll always find it in our press, and I especially love the sourdough rustic seed. Better bread, that's a promise, so make sure to check it out. Marissa Carter joins me on The Good Glow today. She is a founder and creator of two amazingly successful cosmetic brands, Coco Brown and Carter Beauty. Her tan launched back in 2012, and within a year it became the best-selling tan brand in Ireland. The products were sold in almost 15,000 stores in 23 countries. Kylie Jenner even spoke about Marissa's tan on her social media pages. She went on to create Carter Beauty, a beautiful makeup brand which is now stocked in over 1,500 Walmart stores in the US, which is kind of a big deal. We haven't heard much about Marissa in the last couple of years, and today she opens up about why, how she has shifted her priorities but not her drive. Today there's a lesson for us all in really just to focus on what's important in life, and I think we can get caught up in the doing. It's easy to distract ourselves with work, isn't it? And I have certainly done that on my quest to having a second baby. And it hasn't been an easy road for us. And some days I've turned the Good Glow into my second baby just to distract myself from the reality sometimes. But Marissa is here today with some truth bombs, some life lessons. And I think we all need a reminder sometimes to stop working and start living. So thank you, Marissa, so much for your time. Before we get into the podcast, I spent a whole day writing the last page of my book on Friday. When I wrote the last line, I thought, I cannot wait for people to read this because I think it is really going to make a difference. I think it's full of aha moments. I think it's going to make people rethink. I think it's going to give them a little bit of a drive to take life into their own hands and follow the journey of their life and trust it. And I'm so excited for you to read it. If you pre-order through the link in the episode show notes, Glow will arrive on your doorstep on the day of publication. So you will be one of the first people to have it in your hands. Thank you so much for the support and all the messages this week. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Marissa Carter, welcome to the Good Glow podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Marissa, we're neighbours. We need to get together more often, I think. I have been so excited to talk to you because I feel like there is so much about your life that I know and then so much about it that I don't. So how do you kind of balance this public life, but then also managing to stay so private at the same time?
I don't know what the perception is of me that, you know, I don't know if people think that I overshare or if people think that they know very little about me. So you have to really just ask the most invasive questions that you can think of to get to the bottom of it, because I have no idea. I really just have no idea how I come across online, because I don't read anything about that's written about me by other people online, like never ever. So I have no idea.
Why do you not read? Like, so say you, I remember you did this amazing spread. I think it was for the Indo, and you were in like this black outfit and you just had these gorgeous legs and it was like CEO and, you know, founder, mogul. Do you read that stuff?
Yeah, because I suppose what's written there is it's come from my gob. So it's just me doing an interview. That's grand. But I wouldn't read, I wouldn't read any of the gossip sites or anything like that, like ever. You could pay me all the money in the world and I would not read them.
Is that because you are so sure of your own values and your own self-worth that you feel like it would make absolutely no difference? Or is it because you're protecting yourself?
It's probably a bit of both. Definitely a little bit of protecting myself, because I suppose if you were to read something, and even no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are, it might affect you. And then it might affect decisions that you make, or how you might start to be inauthentic and not be yourself. You know, trying to prove that you're one way or another. So it's just a much more enjoyable experience online if you don't get involved and don't read any of that stuff. Now, the odd time someone might send me a DM telling me what's been written, and I'll, you know, just pass it off. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's good. And we've spent the morning together. I was up in your beautiful home. Oh my God, I couldn't pick my jaw up off the ground. It is such a beautiful place to be. Thank you. And we are where our homes are. We are surrounded by nature and deer, and it is such a beautiful place to be. Is that your sanctuary?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I've always been into nature. I've always been into gardening. I've always been into plants. I love animals and nature. So living in the semi-countryside is a dream. Yeah, an absolute dream.
You've had so many amazing highs throughout your career. And I mean, you're only 40. And
Say that again. You're only 40.
But you've achieved so much, and it's so inspiring. And I'm 38, and I feel like, you know, I still have a startup business, you know, so to look at women like you, and I know that you're involved in Going for Growth, which I'm a part of this year. And
congratulations, by the way. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got a spot. I think Going for Growth, which for anyone listening who doesn't know what it is a female entrepreneurship support program where lead entrepreneurs mentor a group of 6 to 8 other female entrepreneurs in all it from a very, very wide range of industries across Ireland. And last year, I think there was close to, now I could be wrong, but I think there was close to 700 applications for Going for Growth. So you were very, very lucky, and congratulations on getting a spot there, because it's no mean feat. Your application must have been deadly.
Oh, thank you so much. And like, even on the first day when you got up and you're a mentor and you've got so much to share and so sharing so generously, my mentor is Una from Mars Pharmacy, who, you know, is so adored.
She's a powerhouse, an absolute powerhouse. I admire her so much.
Yeah, she's amazing. And I would encourage anyone who's listening to apply for Going for Growth next year, because I've already gotten so much out of it. But, you know, as I was saying, like, you've had these amazing highs in your business. I remember, you know, when I worked in Spin, and you had your salon, and I heard about this amazing woman who's going to the Oscars and bringing her tan over there. Is there a standout moment in your career that you felt like you almost had to pinch yourself?
Yeah, for sure. When Carter Beauty launched into 1700 Walmart stores smack bang in the middle of COVID, that was a huge, I mean, it is the pinnacle of my career to date to have achieved that. It was a little bit tainted, and I say only a little bit tainted by the fact that we were smack bang in the middle of COVID and I couldn't go over and do an in-store visit or do any in-store launches or events or anything like that. You know, but like, that's life really, isn't it? You think that things are going to happen one way and then they don't. And you just have to, you know, roll with it. And there was no point in dwelling on that fact too much. So had a little bit of I wish we could be there to see it launch moment. little bit of a whinge to myself about that. But really, you know, to be the first Irish cosmetics brand to do that is brilliant. And, you know, throughout my entire career, I have always tried to be the first. You know, I'd always ask myself, OK, well, what's new? What's next? How am I going to get there first?
Really?
Yeah.
And does that come with pressure?
Oh, only pressure that I suppose that I put on myself, maybe. Certainly not from not from anyone else.
So tell us, like, how do you get, I'm sure, like, it's a very, you know, you can give me an answer that goes on for days, but, like, where do you start for breaking America?
Well, it's a lot of graft. You know, I had my first dealings with Walmart almost 6 years ago now, 7 years ago. And yeah, it was a long time trying to get in the door and get a meeting and get face to face. And, you know, for a long time, the only contact I had with them was calls, emails, and I could get it to a certain point, but I could never get that deal over the line. And then I went and did a trade show in the US, and I had the opportunity to meet the buyer face to face. Now, she came, I told her that I would be there, that I, you know, here's my stand number, fully thinking there's no way she's going to, you know, come over and have the chats with me and meet me. But she did, fair play to her. She came over, she saw the stand, she saw the products in real life. And yeah, we met face to face. And from there, then we were able to make it happen. But I am a firm advocate, and I say this to all of the women that I mentor on the Going for Growth program, Starting Strong, that there is no substitute for face-to-face interactions, face-to-face communication, and all of the most important business deals that I've ever had, and really any sort of personal, you know, if you want to build a friendship and you want to really, you have to put in actual face time. Phone calls and emails only get you so far.
And that's a great thing, isn't it, to pass on to the next generation? Because I think it is so easy to hide behind a screen, or, like, you invited me up to your home this morning so that we could actually speak face to face before recording this podcast. I did a podcast with Greg O'Shea a couple of weeks ago. Same thing. I said, look, I can drop a mic over to your house, like, take as little of your time as you want. He's like, no, let's get together. Like, let's have a chat face to face. And it does make such a difference. And I think, especially for people who, myself, will sometimes hide, like, I like my house. And
my house, but yeah, I gotta get out and meet people face to face.
It makes such a difference. So tell me about that day then that she came to your stand. What country were you in?
I was in the US. We were doing a trade show over at Cosmoprof in Vegas, and she came over, and it was very funny. When she came over to the stand, I was actually smack bang in the middle of a conversation with a buyer for a huge retailer in Australia. And in my mind, I was like, this is the I thought I was having the most important conversation that I was going to have over the course of the week. So I was really like, you know, my team would have known Marissa's talking to X from Australia, don't interrupt her. And one of my colleagues kept trying to get my attention, and I was, as politely and as subtly as I could, trying to batter off. I was like, go away, I am having an important conversation here. Of course, she was trying to tell me the Walmart buyer is here and she wants to talk to you. Oh, so she eventually got the message through to me.
What do you think got it over the line for you that day?
I think, honestly, the passion that, and you'll know this, the passion that you have and the belief that you have in your brand, in your product, in your service, you know, it'll always shine through from the founder or the owner of the business in a way that it won't from anyone else. There's no one who will, no matter who they are, no matter how good they are at their job, there is no one that will sell your business more effectively than you. And I really do believe that Carter Beauty's success internationally is down to the quality of the products that we've created. It's down to never accepting less than excellent from a manufacturer. And, you know, from day one, whether it was creating Cocoa Brown products 10 years ago or creating a new Carter Beauty product today, my standards are always really, really high. And I'm sure I am an absolute pain in the hoop for manufacturers, for cosmetic chemists, for almost anyone who has to provide any sort of service or product to me, for me, because I have really, really high standards. I know that. I know that I'm difficult. Actually, I enjoy being difficult. I think if you really want success in any area of your life, you have to not really just accept mediocre or accept, it's all right, it's grand. You just can't accept that. The bar has to be very, very high.
That, to me, is, as you know, someone with a business and starting out, and I think even, you know, like for people who work in town in and work for somebody or work in a multinational or wherever you may work, is it like being a woman that you feel like if you're being difficult, or if you're being not even being difficult, if you're being fussy, if you have a standard and you're pushing to keep that standard high, that we feel like we're being a pain in the neck for people? And why do we feel guilty about that?
I think we're taught not to make a fuss. Well, actually, do you know what? I was not taught not to make a fuss. My mother, you know, instilled it into me that if you want to get something done, you better make a fuss. You got to accept that if you have high standards, that you'll be seen as possibly hard work. How many times have you heard another person describe a woman in business as hard work?
So many times.
Yeah. And you might have thought, oh, maybe she is hard work. But really, why is that person saying that she's hard work? That's what I would ask myself. I'd be like, oh, well, maybe you're not doing a great job. You have to be okay with people thinking that you're hard work, or people thinking that you're fussy.
Yeah. So when then you are in Vegas, Walmart wants you, this is your like baby, something you've put your heart and soul into, you know that it's a great product. How do you keep your feet on the ground?
I suppose you're just constantly looking, okay, well, again, what's new? What's next? How do I get there first? And then we started looking at, okay, well, where is the next market for Carter Beauty? And the UAE was where I set my sights on. And we launched there in the Dubai Mall just a couple of weeks ago, actually. Myself and Ronan, my husband, who works in the business with me, we went over and had somewhat of a second honeymoon because we went without the kids. Oh. And then, yeah, worked at a trade show over there and went to visit the Dubai Mall. Saw Carter Beauty in the two stores there. And I did a little training day with the Supercare chain that have taken Carter Beauty. Did some training with their staff one of the evenings. And then I did an in-store like color matching type of thing at the stand, which was pretty cool. It was really nice. Yeah, it was cool.
I feel like you're so laid back about all of this. Like, I feel like I'm just like listening to you and you're saying like all of these stores, Walmart in the US, the UAE. I don't know if like I would know that about you, like unless I was at that day for Going for Growth. And I know you share stuff on your Instagram and stuff, but like, are you very laid back?
I am very laid back in some regard. I mean, obviously I'm not too laid, but I'm not laid back when it comes to, you know, quality. But I am, I suppose I'm not, how do I explain this? I know that there are far more important things in life than your professional achievements. And there are far more important things in life than what, you know, whether you're perceived as successful or not. And I think I've gotten to a point in my life now where actually I really, really doesn't bother me whether a single person in Ireland knows that Carter Beauty is sold in 1700 Walmart stores or not, because that's not going to impact the sales. I think I'm far less vain than I was in my 20s or my early career. In my early career, I would have sent out a press release.
Yeah.
To all of my media contacts in Ireland to let them know that, oh, Carter Beauty has achieved this amazing thing in the US. And as you get older, I don't know, I've just sort of realized doesn't really matter what people think of you. Isn't going to make a difference. I don't need an award. I don't need recognition. I don't need any of that. I just want to get on with running my business and living my life. Spending time with my family, getting out in the garden, having a cuddle with my dog. You know?
And so like with all of this then, would you be a workaholic or are you good at balancing? Because it seems like psychologically you can balance it in your head. Like, okay, that's work and you park that and when it's time for it, it's time for it. So are you good at home kind of balancing things? Are you good at switching off from it all? Or do you feel like you're always on?
I used to be a workaholic. For sure. And then I think I just reached a point where I was like, I am burnt out. I cannot keep going at this. I cannot keep going at this pace. I cannot keep doing so much travel. I need to get more balance in my life. And I have not stopped. My output has not decreased. The achievements, the different things that I want to pursue professionally, my ambitions have not decreased, but my priorities have definitely changed and I'm far more aware of my bandwidth now. So, for example, I now know what stresses... I've always known what stresses me out, but I sort of say no to things now that I would have said yes to allow more time for the important things and more time to get the profession, you know, hit my professional goals. So I've cut out things in my life that don't serve me, don't serve my family, all the frivolous bits. I feel like I have more time now to focus on what my professional goals are. I have more time now with my family and my friends actually, because I know what's important. I'm not going to events that no one cares that I'm at or not. I'm not meeting people for coffee that aren't my real friends, or I just feel like I say no to a hell of a lot now.
And when you were speaking about burnout there, like, do you have warning signs that you're heading for burnout? Because I was speaking to a girl on my podcast called Rebecca a couple of weeks ago, and she was saying that she suffered from burnout and it just completely derailed her life. Everything just fell down.
So sleep would be a big marker for me. I need sleep. So I feel like I have two modes. I have my brain going a million miles an hour, or it's shut down and I'm asleep. And if I'm very stressed and I'm not sleeping, if I'm kept awake at night because I'm so worried or I'm so anxious about something, or I just can't stop thinking about something, my mind has gone into overdrive. I know, okay, I need to do something about this now, because if I'm not sleeping, that's not good. Yeah. So if my sleep is disturbed from whatever I'm experiencing, that's the first sign that actually this is not okay. You know, I need to do something about this. I need to get a handle on what's going on.
And are you good at asking for help? Like, would you say to Ronan, or do you kind of try to battle it out yourself before you open up?
I'm a huge advocate of, you know, counselling, speaking to a therapist. So, like, I mean, I've had periods where I've done 2 hours of therapy a week for 6 months. Like, that's a lot of therapy. And then just your regular, you know, once a month little check-in. So I'm a huge advocate for that, of actually speaking to a professional and just keeping yourself on an even keel.
Is there a piece of advice that has always stuck with you in your life, like whether that's for your personal life or professional life or both?
I would say there have been I've had different mantras or different things that I would remind myself of through the years. I used to quite often tell myself, her success is not your failure. I would tell myself that regularly as I was trying to build Carter Beauty or as I was trying to build Coco Brown, because, you know, I felt this comparison pressure all the time. I don't feel that anymore. So I don't, you know, I never really find myself where I have to say, woof, don't be envious, don't be jealous, her success is not your failure. I feel like I don't feel much envy in professionally anyway, in that regard, you know, so I don't feel like that's a mantra I live by anymore, because it doesn't feel, just doesn't really feel relevant to me right now.
Yeah, but
now.
It's something that helped you along the way.
It definitely helped me along the way, because when you're starting out and you see other people achieve things that you want for your business, it can do two things. It can either serve as a reminder or an example of what you can achieve, of what's possible. Yeah. Or it can make you feel envious and you think, oh, I really want that. I wish, why can't that happen for me?
I hope you're enjoying this episode with Marissa. Just a short break to thank Promise Gluten Free for supporting the Good Glow this season. Loved in households all over the country. Here's what one of their customers had to say. Katie from Dublin said, after having Promise Gluten Free, I didn't feel bloated anymore. I felt sharper, to be honest with you. For me, my husband, it's just an easier option. We're not compromising anymore. If you are looking for some inspiration, head over to their social media page for lots of tasty recipes and ideas. You can find them at Promise Gluten Free. Better bread, that's a promise.
But to go back to your question of what's my mantra now, I think my mantra now is, your value is not determined by your achievements or your professional success. You are more than your career. I have always, for as long as I can remember, subconsciously, I was definitely judging my value based on my professional achievements. That's not right. You know, it's really not. We're all so much more than our ambitions. We're so much more than our careers, than our successes. And our value to our, you know, to our real friends, it's not how many free lipsticks we can give them.
I feel like the way you are saying that, feels to me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that it's almost like you learned the hard way or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I, for a very long time, didn't know. I was chasing validation of my worth through my professional achievements, through my career. And it really is only in the last couple of years that I've started to love myself and be proud of the person that I am, not that having absolutely nothing to do with my professional career? Nothing. You know, I feel like for so many years, I saw myself as Marissa Carter, Coco Brown, Marissa Carter, Carter Beauty. And now I really just, I feel like I'm much happier in myself being just Marissa Carter. You know, if Coco Brown wasn't there tomorrow, if Carter Beauty wasn't there tomorrow, if I was just Marissa and nobody had a clue, you know, nobody recognized me as Marissa Carter, Coco Brown, Marissa Carter, Carter Beauty, that I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, but that is, so we did this online course called the September Reset. And I think on day three, the session was called Who Are You? And it was like, the question was, who are you without your family? Who are you without your job, without your friends, without your stuff? Who are you? And I got such a huge response from people because they were like, I have no idea who I am. And I don't know if I've ever said this, but I am finding it really hard. Oh God, I'm going to start crying. I am finding it really hard at the moment to separate my self-worth from what I do. Like, this is, I'm on a journey like of self-discovery, and I put so much of myself out into the world, right? And I think because I have such a personal brand, because it's a podcast, because it's about my life, that sometimes I feel like the good glow is me. So I'm going to this one particular therapist who is counseling me in a certain way, but she thinks I may need another form of therapy. So she's trying to get me to pick up the phone and ring this person and book in for it. But there's such resistance there because I think we get stuck in a story or a way of life. And this is how I function now. And I think because I've had such like a hard time getting to my next stage of having another baby, that it's almost like I feel like I'm a bit stuck in this version of myself because I want to evolve and move forward, but it's almost like the universe wasn't letting me, you know, that sort of way. So obviously you've been in the industry for so long and you've had your own business for so long that you've been able to get to a place where you separate Marissa. How do you do it?
Oh, it's been a very confronting process. And I think maybe when we had our chat earlier, when you came to the house, I don't know, maybe I picked up on that from you, that so much of your identity is packed up in the brand that you've created. And I just want to say to you that that's a natural thing. That's a normal thing. That would happen and happens to every single person that creates a brand from scratch, from nothing, that is built on all the deadly pieces that make up you. So the Good Glow has so much of what makes you amazing is what so much of what makes the Good Glow amazing. I think as well, writing down for, and this sounds so trivial, sounds like whatever, we could all do that, that can't be that easy. But reminding myself and actually writing it down, what's important, really what is important. I really wish I had a very simple answer for you on how I've come to that conclusion or how I've reached that point in my life where I'm still ambitious, but I care a whole lot less about how I'm perceived. I just don't know if I have an easy answer. I just don't. It's just taken a lot of time, a lot of therapy and a lot of work to separate myself from the business. And actually, do you know what? I think the catalyst for that for me, catalyst for me separating myself from my business and separating my self-worth out and away from my career was probably when I confronted the fact that things weren't going the way that I wanted them to be going with regards to one of my businesses.
Yeah, acknowledging it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first step though, really, isn't it? In trying to tackle any issue is acknowledging it. And I was like, right, well, tomorrow, if one of these businesses were to go, if both of these businesses were to go, what would still be important? Would I still love myself? Who would still love me? Who would still talk to me? Who would still ring me? What WhatsApp groups would I no longer be needed in?
But we always have to learn these lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
But it also comes with life experience, doesn't it? Because I was on 6 o'clock show this week and Karen Koster was talking about being 40 and just not caring as much as she used to. And that's so empowering, isn't it? But like, we obviously have to grow up so much before we can get to that point where we trust ourselves enough to know that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, but it will be.
Yeah.
We love ourselves enough, you know, to let go.
To let go, yes. Yeah. Because, oh my God, it's such a huge part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
To surrender.
Yeah. You got to let go of, let go of the thing, you know, the fear that you have that you are nothing without whatever it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, for so long I just, in radio, I was just like, this is my only path. This has to work out. If I don't have this, I have nothing. And then when I quit my job at 98FM and I started The Good Glow, I was like, oh my God, if I didn't let go of that, this wouldn't have happened. And letting go can be the scariest thing sometimes, but it can put you on the most incredible new path. So are you very trusting of the universe?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I am not trusting of the universe in any way, shape or form, but I am trusting and I have absolute faith in my own ability, in my own well-ableness to face and confront whatever it is that needs to be faced and confronted and dealt with. You know, I absolutely know that I'm well able. And again, I put that down to my mother beating it into me.
You must be one of the only guests I've ever had on who says they don't trust the universe.
No way.
Why?
Because I wouldn't want to put anything in anyone else's hands. I'll look after it myself, thanks very much.
But on the bad days, where do you turn to? Is it yourself?
I have no problem being vulnerable with the people that I love and saying, I am having a really bad day. I can't get out of bed. How am I going to get out of bed today?
Are those days when you say, oh, I can't get out of bed today, do they come around often for you?
So after I had Charlie, he's nearly 11. He's 11.
Oh my God.
I know. My baby is nearly 11. I got postnatal depression after Charlie. So, you know, I eventually went to my doctor and was prescribed antidepressants. And they were, you know, I found them so effective. Really, they just really, really helped me through a tough time. And then I had the same thing again after I had Isabel. She's 7 turning 8 again. Postnatal depression after back to the doctor, different set of antidepressants. And then a couple of years ago, just when it was a particularly difficult, particularly stressful time professionally, back to the doctor, antidepressants. And I feel like that was difficult. It's a very difficult thing to do, to pass the response, you know, to, oh, admit I need help. This isn't, you know, I've tried the exercise, I've tried all the things that I can try myself. So to go to a professional, to go to a doctor and say, tried all this, it's not working, something wrong with me. That was pretty confronting and difficult thing to do, but sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to stay healthy and to mind yourself. So I'm a huge advocate of minding yourself and, you know, I suppose acknowledging that you're not superwoman, and if you need help, you need help.
That's an incredible message, because I think, like, we just want to fix ourselves all the time.
Asking for help isn't a weakness, and acknowledging that you're not perfect, and no matter how strong you are, no matter how successful you are, no matter, you know, what you've achieved, you're still human. It's not a flaw. It's human.
Are you okay sharing that? Like, do you?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's, I don't think there is no shame. Absolutely no shame in, you know, having treatment or receiving treatment for being, you know, medically unwell. If you broke your leg and you needed a cast, you get a cast.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And thanks for sharing that. So when are you happiest? Don't say in the garden watching a YouTuber gardening.
Oh, when am I happiest? I'm happiest when I'm in the garden and my kids are and my family are helping me garden. Through osmosis, they are learning to love nature as much as I do. My husband, he took the kids, was walking the kids over to school the other day. And when he came back, he said to me, "Oh, Marissa, you are going to be so proud when I tell you this story." They were walking over and one of the trees on our road has started to blossom. And he said that the two kids turned to him and said, "Oh, wow, Dad, look at that tree." And, you know, the two kids spent so much time rolling their eyes up to heaven at me and being like, "Oh, Mom, you know, we might be away somewhere." And I'm, hold on. I just need to take a quick picture of this plant. Or, "Oh, did you see that tree? Look at that tree. Oh my, isn't it beautiful?" And I'm thinking to myself, they have no interest. It is going over their heads. They think their mother is cracked. They couldn't give a Nelly about that beautiful flower over there. And there they are on their walk to school telling their daddy, "Then look at that tree." I've never been so proud.
Oh my God, I love this. It doesn't matter how many Americans are walking around in your eyeshadow. That is the moment for you, your full circle moment. And that just sums it all up, doesn't it? That just sums it all up. What, though, do you think is next for you professionally? Because, like, I don't normally like to ask people, what's next? But I feel like you're the type of person, you know what's next.
I'm trying to always think up new, innovative, exciting products that customers will love in the beauty industry. But more and more, I suppose, I'm looking at what's next for me personally. I want more joy in my life, you know. I want to be able to spend as much time as I can doing fun things with the kids and my family. And yeah, I don't even really care what it is once it's creative and to do with nature. And I really don't know what's next. Hopefully good health and contentment.
Yeah. Do you think that there could be another chapter for you completely outside of the beauty industry?
Ah, you're a devil.
Go on, tell us.
There could be. I have been known to drive outside of my own lane every now and then. There could be. Who knows, really? I'm inspired by many, many different things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think we should leave it at that. I think you're going to continue to surprise us and inspire us.
Thank you.
Thanks for the advice, because I think sometimes, even though there's only 2 years between us, you're so experienced at what you do, and to pass that down is very generous of you. Just leave us with this. What do you think, or what do you wish that people or the world knew more of, like through all of your experience that you've had? And you've given us so many lessons already on the podcast. But is there one thing that you wish people knew more of or could keep closer to their heart than they already do?
I think just knowing and understanding what success really means to you. You know, what's really important. The answer is going to be different for everyone, but got to figure that out. For so long, I thought what was really important was, you know, achievements in my professional career. That's not what's important.
And sometimes it kind of takes you to come out of yourself to think about that one, I think. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Will you bring me up some dinners?
Absolutely. If you come down and do my garden.
Oh, now that is a fair trade. I'll bring you some plants.
It's a deal.
I love you so much.
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you.
Will you be a new friend?
We're neighbours now. We can scoot on down to each other and have a few fire pit evenings in the summer.
Okay.
I'll try not to cry. What did you think of that? It certainly is a real eye-opener, isn't it, into Marissa's life and the journey that she's been on, especially over the last couple of years, and really connecting with the things outside of her work that make her feel warm and fill her up. And it's just so inspiring. And I think all of us who have probably started this year at a million miles an hour, it's a great reminder to slow down sometimes and remember that we are perfect, just as we are. As I said at the start, if you would like to pre-order my book, it will land on your doorstep on publication day if you order on the Easons website through the link in the episode show notes. And I really hope you're going to enjoy it. I spent a whole day writing the last page of the book, and I really hope it connects with you. So thank you so much, and I will see you next week.